The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Hi. Thank you for being here. Are you woke or awake? Are you awake and woke? Oh, we had so much fun yesterday with that. And thanks for all the comments that we got on our woke-o-meter. Woke-o-meter.
Yeah, woke-o-meter.
Woke-o-meter. Mm-hmm. In other news out there, man, there's just so much news. We could talk for 100 hours. John Durham, the U.S. attorney, this from Fox News, an exclusive from Fox News that they broke yesterday. John Durham, the U.S. attorney, reviewing the origins of the 2016 counterintelligence investigation into Russia and the Trump campaign, is probing a wider timeline than previously known, according to multiple senior administration officials. Fox News previously reported that Durham would be reviewing the days leading up to the 2016 election and through the inauguration. However, based on what he has been finding, Durham has expanded his investigation, adding agents and resources, the senior administration official said. The timeline has grown from the beginning of the probe through the election and now has included a post-election timeline through the spring of 2017, up to when Robert Mueller was named special counsel. Attorney General Bill Barr in Durham traveled to Italy recently to talk to law enforcement officials there about the probe and have also had conversations with officials in the UK and Australia about the investigation, according to multiple sources familiar with the meetings. Barr assigned Durham, the U.S. attorney in Connecticut, back in May to conduct the inquiry into alleged misconduct and improper surveillance of the Trump campaign in 2016, as well as whether Democrats were the ones who improperly colluded with foreign actors. The attorney is gathering information from numerous sources, including a number of foreign countries. At Attorney General Barr's request, the president has contacted other countries to ask them to introduce the attorney general and Mr. Durham to appropriate officials. Justice Department spokesperson Carrie Kupek said last month when all that, you know, remember all of that came about, they said, that's actually the proper procedure to do that. So there's where we are right now. And by the way, if anybody in the Durham administration or in the Durham investigation that he comes across, if he wants a subpoena of their records outside of, you know, records that he probably will get more cooperation from the FBI and Department of Justice now, you know, because he is the head of the Department of Justice. But if they don't get cooperation, he might actually have to subpoena from some individuals certain records. They get to fight those subpoenas.
Yep.
If they fight those subpoenas, that is not obstruction of justice.
No, it is not.
As the Democrats are trying to make. And we're saying this because we're taking the opposite. We're taking the investigation of the Trump Justice Department going against Democrats. And if they attempt to subpoena Democrats, the Democrats can fight those subpoenas.
Yep. It really, again, is about the process. But the Democrats want you to believe there is no process. It's only what we want. But there is a process. You have a right to challenge the subpoena, and the court can decide what happens from there. That's not obstruction. Nowhere close.
No, no. And that's the case that's the terribly weak case that Nancy Pelosi was trying to make yesterday.
Right.
Well, sorry, you're doing this? Well, that could add another article of impeachment of obstruction because you have said we're not going to cooperate. They don't have to cooperate.
Right.
And the funny thing is, because now, well, this is political corruption. You guys are talking criminal justice. No, I'm talking about what Nancy Pelosi stated.
Yep.
Nancy Pelosi stated Donald Trump is above the law, and so this is obstruction. She's trying to make it about the law, and it's not about the law. It's about politics.
Right.
Now, whatever political obstruction is has never been defined, but that is not a high crime. Go ahead, make it a high crime. In fact, that's what I believe, you know, that's what the White House is doing now. They know there's going to be only a few reactions. Either you go full bore now and have the vote, and then you justify an expanded use of subpoenas, because federal judges will say, well, you took a vote and, you took a vote. What's the crime? What is the suspected crime out there? Because that's what the administration will fight every subpoena with, saying, judge, they're doing a fishing expedition. What is the alleged crime?
Right.
And so once you do that, you get a full hearing before the judge, and all that becomes public.
Yep.
So the one thing the Democrats don't want, by their own admission, by their behavior, is transparency as to what they're doing. They just want automatic cooperation without any federal judges being involved in it. And if they don't get it, well, then they're going to scream. They're screaming, we will have an article of impeachment for obstruction of justice. Really, that's the only one they've defined so far, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I just think, again, this was the perfect play, I think, by the president, by the administration. Challenge them. Say no along the way. They've got to make the next move. They're the ones that are going to have to go through, ultimately, the process. You got to vote on inquiry. And if they don't, then their rank and file is likely going to, at some point, get upset. If you don't officially move on this, how many people, by the way, I wonder, if they did a poll, how many of the rank and file Democrats out there believe the impeachment process has technically begun, has actually begun in real time? I mean, it's actually going on right now. They've actually done a vote, or they've done something procedurally. They really haven't. They got the blessing from the speaker to move, but really there hasn't been a vote. How many of the rank and file believe it's actually started officially? Because it hasn't. We're here during this pseudo inquiry process, and that's all you have.
I really don't think if the poll is right at all that was taken, was it the Reuters poll that showed that Democrats don't, you know, the majority of Democrats don't care if they lose the 2020 election because the impeachment, you know, they want them impeached, which did bring us to the question of how many of them understand that impeachment does not remove them from office.
Right.
And how many would be shocked and infuriated when he's not gone? How many believe that? Because you see it on social media all the time. Impeach him, you saw impeach this. You talked about it earlier. Impeach him, impeach Pence.
Right.
Well, so they're going to be there.
Right.
They're not going to be removed from office. So I wonder how many believe, because that was starting to trend over the weekend. Impeach Pence, too. We can impeach Pence. Get rid of both of them. Well, you're not getting rid of them by impeachment.
No.
That's the removal from office process. They don't know that.
No. And I think you actually get to the point where it is, again, Nancy either has to move or just keep this thing lingering. Like you said yesterday, she really can't announce that she's not going to do anything, which means you just don't say anything and you just don't actually ever do anything. You let the committees pretend they're doing something officially.
Well, now you're being forced into a corner by the president when he's, I'm not going to cooperate with you. All right, that's my move, your move.
Right. I mean, it really is, it's not even a game of chess here. it seems like, you know, it really does seem like a game of dodgeball.
It's political dodgeball. It's,
you know, that's really what it is. And it is, again, it's up to the Democrats to move on it. So they have the votes. They have, what, 227 as of last week?
Yep.
You got the votes?
Yep.
Move on inquiry.
Yep.
Why don't they? Why isn't there a vote?
Well, that's what they're pushing them to do. They're the Republicans, by doing this,
yes,
are either because they wanted to make the statement. The administration could have just said nothing and fought every subpoena in court.
Yes.
They didn't have to do this.
Nope.
They didn't have to announce, we're not going to cooperate with you. No. They did that for a reason.
Right.
Because that was their dare. Because they could have just sat back and said, look, we're not going to announce we're not going to cooperate. We're just not going to cooperate.
Right.
And we're going to fight every single letter, any letter they send to us. No, I'm sorry, we're not interested. And then every subpoena we fight, and we make it public when we fight the subpoena.
Right.
We talk about what happened in court. But they did this. They put this out. This was a proclamation. Either hold the impeachment inquiry vote and continue the process. And that's going to, that if you continue the process after that with the subpoenas you're going to put out, this is going to take months, maybe a year, because we're going to fight everything or impeach me now.
Right.
On what you got. Because the last thing we know that you want, Democrats, is to stretch this out, because the more it's stretched out, as we've seen in the first 2.5 weeks of this, the more it's stretched out, the more the case against the Democrats falls apart. And more of the case of partisanship in the investigation.
Yes.
Just like in Russian collusion. That and corruption because of Adam Schiff's lie. Because Adam Schiff's lie takes you to the prosecutor or the investigator is corrupt.
Mm.
That's where that takes you to at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the Republicans fear, look, we're on real strong ground. Make them so they actually have to go through the long process of doing this, which would take months all the way into next year. We don't think they want to do that because it's been hurting them. The more there's transparency, and the longer this goes, the more transparency there will be, and the more there will be an opportunity for Republicans and the Senate Judiciary Committee to then to be looking at Biden, to be looking at, you know, to be as he said he would, that the Senate Judiciary Committee starts doing their job and looking at everything else. And yes, making it partisan, because that's how the system is set up. The Democrats are going after Republicans. Well, now the Republicans in the Senate can go after the Democrats.
Yep.
That's why the system is set up the way that it is. And at that point, then you see where this thing all comes out in the end, but you actually will have, as time goes by, you get more transparency. It's just because there's more leaks, there's more information. Look at the transparency that we now know 2.5 to 3 weeks after this whole thing first came out.
Right.
Look how much more we know. That's transparency. And the case looks a lot. Well, there is no case for the Democrats right now. I won't say it looks a lot weaker. They have no case for impeachment. They can't tell you what the president did wrong that deserves impeachment, except the only discussion of an article of impeachment has been, well, obstruction because the president filed the letter that they won't cooperate.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to move on that.
Yeah. And the administration is saying, go ahead, do it. Make that your main article of impeachment, obstruction for saying we're not going to cooperate with you and we're going to fight every subpoena and every letter, and a judge will have to make that decision. Try to make that obstruction and see where that gets you. Go ahead, do it.
I just don't, again, I don't know what the next play is for the Democrats. I think they're just hoping that there will be a continued back and forth, so they can stall on this thing until they figure out what to do.
Well,
because ultimately, again, they're going to have to go through the actual process. They're going to have the vote on inquiry. then they can move on subpoenas. Even then, you're going to have an issue with this administration. And I just don't know how the Democrats fix that, because they have no case. Look, if there were public sentiment, they, you know, you see the polls, well, the public sentiment is growing on the case for impeachment. I think it got up to, in one poll, like 49%. Look, if it were overwhelming, if there was something clear, if there were a crime, then you would see that. You would see that very clearly. There would be that political pressure, and the Democrats wouldn't be afraid to move on the vote on inquiry.
Right.
But they don't have the case. That's why they don't want to go through with it.
They thought, they might have thought they had a case 3 weeks ago. They
right.
have zero. They've got nothing right now.
Because Schiff botched it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Wintertime is tough on trucks. Extreme cold temperatures can affect everything from batteries to tire inflation to fuel lines, making winter prep essential to the performance of your vehicle. Here's a tip to make sure your rig is ready for the winter months that lie ahead. When water and moisture build in your air brake system in the dead of winter, it will almost certainly freeze and turn to ice, which can damage valves, air dryers, and other air system components. Make sure to inspect your system for any air leaks and to confirm the system is receiving a clear air supply. Check and drain your air tanks daily to keep water, contaminants, and corrosion at bay. Find a TA truck service near you to learn more truck winterization tips or to have your air brake system inspected today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We go to John in New Jersey. John, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Hey, listen, I feel the way the Democrats are acting that we're really in uncharted territory. So why not flip it back onto the Democrats? Have the Republican House vote to move forward and make it clear to the American public that they're only doing this now to be on equal footing with the Democrats, and now they have subpoena power to turn the tables.
I think number one, the Democrat or the Republicans can't hold a vote.
They can't call.
No, that's not what I meant. Let the Republicans make it clear to the Democrats that they will vote with them to move forward. And the only reason why they're doing that is to get on equal footing with subpoena power to go after them.
Well, then the Democrats won't hold a vote.
Of course not. But that's the point. Then it goes away.
Yeah, they're not.
In other words, you challenge them to the extent that they.
But that's not going to happen, because they could tell that to the Democrats, and Democrats say fine, and then all the Republicans vote for the impeachment inquiry, and then the Democrats don't give them equal footing. They don't care. I mean, have you paid attention to what Democrats get away with?
Yeah, because there's the backfire right there.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I mean, I understand your point. That's not. That's not going to happen. They want the they don't see any reason to help the Democrats at all.
No, it's not going to.
And it's like, nope, let this thing go. But the last thing they're going to do is vote for an impeachment inquiry.
Well, and I think the best play is to do what they have been doing. There's, you know, obviously they're calling out Adam Schiff. They're calling out Speaker Pelosi. But ultimately, you stand back and let the Democrats try and reach out and catch their own falling knife.
Plus, as a Republican, I'm not going to vote for an impeachment inquiry. Even if I wasn't a Republican,
yeah,
I wouldn't vote for an impeachment inquiry, because there is nothing to look for to have an inquiry that's suspicious that would be impeachable.
Right.
There's nothing that he did. There is no high crime that I can identify.
I would never go on record doing
right.
that just
right.
as a political move.
Exactly.
science. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, trained professionals. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to John in Washington, D.C. as we talk the impeachment games. Hi, John. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I live right here on the Hill, and I meet a lot of really decent people. But this is a sea of revenge. And I keep asking them, I say, you know, do you want justice or do you want revenge? And they, to a man or a person, say, revenge. And I said, oh, my God. And then you realize is that, well, the country's not there. The country has always wanted justice. And that's going to be their downfall. I tell them, I said, the biggest mistake you're making is you went out and recruited a whole group of 42 moderates who just said they want to come and work with the administration. Now you've turned it into revenge seekers. If you wanted to put a wedge between Trump and his base, you would not have revenge. You'd let those people work with Trump. And the rest of the Republican base, that would be the wedge. But no, now everybody's solidified. But my only hope is 1968 was a worse year than this one, and we got through it.
Well, I'll say this, and thanks, John, for the observations. Interesting point that if you want to see a wedge, start cooperating with Trump and assuming he would cooperate back and working on deals together, although I don't know with his base that it would do much, because then it would be, see, he's a deal maker, he's getting things done, he's leading them. But they're definitely motivating his base by continuing this talk and this bogus impeachment move. There's no doubt. That is something that is, I think, energizing his base all over again, and they don't need energizing.
I understand the point that you made that in the last midterm, a lot of seats were taken by moderates, those who wanted to appear that we're not part of the crazy Democrats. And the point that John has made, which I think is a pretty decent point, he didn't say it this way, I will. Well, they've either become crazy Democrats or become sympathetic or believe that they can't fight them. So they've just joined them, but joined them quietly. And what we have always said is forget that Trump even exists. Trump did not create the identity politics and the direction that the Democrat Party has gone in. Now, he may have accelerated it.
Right.
He may have drastically accelerated it, but he didn't create it. The identity politics has been around for the faster movement, not the acceleration that's taken place since Trump, but the much more quick movement in the particular direction of endorsing identity politics, to me, is about 10 years old.
Right.
It started to me maybe a couple of years after Obama was in office. Maybe about 2010 is when you really started to see it and went, well, that's crazy. Well, that's a little bit nuts.
Right.
And I do believe since Trump has got into office, they have accelerated that. For example, would AOC exist today if it wasn't for Trump? Now, she might have gotten elected. Would she have the power that she has inside that party if it wasn't for Trump? Did identity politics, did the absolute hatred for Trump solidify with Trump? Did the movement of identity politics, which is victim oppressor, did Trump become the biggest oppressor you could possibly ever imagine? So everybody at that point on the Democrat side became a victim. Therefore, Trump has to be removed from office because that's the injustice that's been done. Trump exists. Look, Hillary Clinton came out and said he was illegitimate. Did any of the media fact check her on that and say, look, that's wrong? He is as legit a president as everybody else. No, they want people and Democrats to believe that. Anybody who isn't I won't even say partisan, anybody who isn't a political hack knows that Donald Trump is a legit president of the United States.
Yep.
There's no question about it whatsoever. His credibility and the integrity of the system in electing him president of the United States is as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, it is, again, it's worse than creating the smoke, but I guess that's still the attempt by the left, to create the smoke. But they're creating the drama based on what they already know is real, and that is purely the hatred for the president. Create the drama. Now, any Republican is going to get it because of SCOTUS and the threat of another vacancy. And right now, with them owning the Senate, it going the way of Kavanaugh. But ultimately, it's this particular president. It's going to ramp up because they believe he's going to, they hate him, but beyond that, they also believe that he's such an amateur that he's not going to get through it. There's no way for him to survive it.
Well, he survived Russian collusion, and
in a big way.
Except for certain fringe examples, Syria, he has a group around him, especially of campaigners and fundraisers that are way ahead of anything that they ever did. It's light years ahead of where they were, in 2015. At this time when they were in the midst of the primary. So it's much, much more organized, and the campaign, I believe, is much more well organized. And I think some of the commercials you've seen already shows that they know, Brad Parscale especially knows, what the messaging has to be for this president to win.
Sure.
And he's got the majority of the issues that he believes in, the majority of Americans, even a significant, even at times plurality of Democrats believe in. And so, they're well financed. And they're well organized for 2020, and they have much more of a solidified base than I believe the Democrats have, because the Democrats aren't solidified behind a candidate. What they're solidified against is their hatred towards Trump that is, as we call it, Trump derangement syndrome. It's not rational.
No.
As we've said before, I can disagree with any president. The last day we've disagreed with how Trump laid out the whole Syria thing, where it's going to go, who knows? But that's been a consistent criticism that we've had on his messaging. To take that and maybe other disagreements that I might have had with him, which haven't been a lot. And in fact, as I said, with trade, it's what he hasn't done that has won my support.
Yeah, and right.
It's what he hasn't done is, and so the trade deal, well, good, he didn't do this. Oh, good, he's not. When we get the permanent trade deals, there's no tariffs involved in it. When you compare it, he isn't doing what he claimed he would do, which was equalize the trade deficit. That he's not doing. That's not in any of the trade deals. And that's what a lot of his supporters wanted him to do, but they're fine with the fact that he didn't do it. They don't seem to have noticed. So that's fine with me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking. I don't practice political idolatry. I don't expect perfect candidates. I don't expect the most moral candidate. I look and say, what do I have the choice of?
Right.
And who is closer to fulfilling the direction of where I want to see the country go? Look, I disagree with the president on not fighting against the debt, but Republicans don't care anymore. So you and I can scream all day about it. The base of the Republican Party no longer cares about the deficit and debt. Many in our audience, our listeners, do, But the Republican Party just doesn't care.
No. No, they don't.
You know, Drudge does. We do and Drudge does.
That's it. I mean, basically, that. I mean, there's no one having the conversation anymore about it. And it wasn't even a political conversation, and won't be next year.
And I believe that's the most serious long-term problem we face is that. And we're alone on that. I mean, we're 1% of the Democrat Party that believes in the seriousness of what's going to happen long-term because of the debt. And so we have massive disagreements with how the president has fought that, but we have massive disagreements with the Republican leadership and the Republican base on that.
Right.
It doesn't mean that the Republican base is illegitimate. It doesn't mean that the Republicans in office that aren't doing our bidding in that case are illegitimate, and it doesn't mean that the president is illegitimate. He was elected through the constitutional process of the United States of America with zero collusion from his party.
Right.
And no hacking into the election machines. So everything is fine. And if in 2020, another Republican comes in, and they win. If a Democrat gets in, and I observe the election, and if they win, they win. You know, we were one of the ones that, remember when Obama got in and people would call and say, well, he's a dictator. No, he's not a dictator.
No.
Well, his executive orders are not dictatorship. Now, he may want to be a dictatorship, but that does not make him, because he puts in an executive order, a dictator, because just like the subpoena process, the courts can come in and say, no, that's garbage, and he's testing out his executive power, as is this president. So we don't make a big to-do of it when it happens, because we understand that it's part of a process. And if you play that hand too big and say it's fascism or a sign of a dictatorship, well, then you're practicing political partisanship, because every administration goes through and does that to some degree.
Yep. And it's just, I don't know where it ends for the Democrats if they can just keep running around in circles. Question is, how long can they keep doing that? How long do you keep playing this political dodgeball? Because that's all it is. It's not a game of chess anymore, because there's really no thought put into it, it seems. What are you thinking if you're Adam Schiff? You had the committee, and this so-called whistleblower comes to your office, and then you just flat out lie about it. Well, what you're thinking is, there's no way he's going to release the transcript. We're just going to keep playing our game. We're going to keep putting on the show. Well, then it drops. There's the transcript. Great. Bring the show. Now you've got a situation where they don't want you to know who this so-called whistleblower is. And we haven't heard anything else since Sunday about the second one.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let's head back to you in the impeachment games. Angel in Virginia. Angel, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi. Okay,
good morning, guys. Thank you for keeping us awake for an hour every day. Thanks, President Clinton, for turning me into a conservative.
You're welcome.
The reason why I'm calling, I have 20 years in law enforcement, and the definition of probable cause is the set of facts, circumstances that will lead a prudent, cautious, and reasonable officer to believe that a crime has been committed and a certain person committed it, not the other way around. But that's not the reason for my call. My call is in reference to the whistleblower.
Yes.
I understand that the first action that came out could have been protected under the whistleblower, but the thing is, he didn't have firsthand information. Now, this second whistleblower comes out and said, No, I'm the one actually that had the information. I'm the one that was there when it happened. Then he shouldn't be a whistleblower. He's a leaker. And my question is, and correct me if I'm wrong, if this person is actually protected.
Well, neither are protected in as far as we're concerned, and I think eventually the Republicans will file the suit on that, especially when Adam Schiff wants to have them to testify, is because the president doesn't apply to the whistleblower law. The whistleblower law applies. That's the inspector general, yep. And that's the whistleblower law for the intelligence agencies. The president is not part of the intelligence agencies.
No.
He's
no.
the chief. He's the president of the United States.
Right.
He is separate. Just because intelligence officers can listen does not mean that it is part. It becomes part of the whistleblower law.
Right.
So we I think that we're wondering why they're waiting, and they're probably waiting to see what the Democrats do before they use it.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, where we stream live, redeyeradioshow.com. Good morning. In the news today, the White House yesterday announced that it will not comply with the illegitimate and unconstitutional impeachment inquiry. They made that clear in an 8-page letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and top Democrats. They will not participate in their, quote, illegitimate and unconstitutional impeachment inquiry. This is from Fox News, charging that the procedures have run roughshod over congressional norms and the president's due process rights. Nancy Pelosi came back and said, by not cooperating, you are obstructing. And then Democrats claim that that might be the first article of one of the articles of impeachment would be for obstruction. So at least we know one article of impeachment, which is based on the fact that they are not obstructing, but the fact that you're doing what anybody has the right to do anywhere, which no government agency can just come to you and say, you must do this. Everything goes through the court process.
Yeah.
And it is not obstruction of justice. If somebody puts a subpoena against you, you can fight it in court. You are not committing obstruction of justice by doing that. This is how bizarre. This is how, again, we get to the Democrats when they talk about the rule of law. And it's very important because I know the argument will be, well, no, this isn't criminal justice. This is a political process. It is Nancy Pelosi who said yesterday Donald Trump is not above the law. He must abide by the law. Well, if you're talking about the law and obstruction, Nancy, you've got nothing. And so they're trying to get into this area to say, I think they're trying to convince people that politics is the law.
Right, right.
And politics isn't the law. Now, they mix together, but if you're talking about the law, Trump does not have to cooperate with any inquiry. They can subpoena whatever they want. The administration sues back. It goes to a federal judge. They decide. If you say no to the federal judge at that point, you can be in contempt of court. But well, you have,
right.
not, but at that point, you have not committed obstruction of justice. This is how off they are. Now, we believe the politics behind it is the White House has said, okay, this is our move. You make the next move. Because what's the next move for Democrats? They either have to do one of a few things. Number one, they decide, okay, we're going to hold a vote, an impeachment inquiry vote. And because we do that, we will get more legitimacy. And then we will start filing subpoenas all over the place to get even more information. Because we know that if we can go and say we've got a vote and the majority of Congress says yes, that judges would be more likely to open up the scope of what what kind of records we can get from the administration. And of course, that would entail the process of court cases for every subpoena that they put out.
Well, again, you know, the House, the Speaker of the House wants to confuse people and have them believe that the House enforces the law. No, lawmakers can create law, but not on the fly. They can't make it up as they go along. And they can't enforce the law. A court could force anyone who is on the other side of that subpoena to respond to that subpoena. But it can be challenged, and that's part of the process. Right. The whole obstruction thing, the word is getting very tired. It really is. And they keep using it at every turn. I don't know how many times Nadler and Schiff have used it since, I don't know, January of 2017. They keep using that word. I do not think you know what that word means. What's the Princess Bride quote? But that is the problem, is that they want you to believe that that rises to obstruction. It is not. It does not.
And so I really think that the play of the White House now is to make them go through the long process of fighting every single subpoena.
Yeah.
And I mean, the fact is they'll put a subpoena saying, we want all your records, and the administration will fight back and say, well, no, you don't get all the records. No. You know, you're on a fishing expedition, and they're going to fight this thing and try to stretch it out, or they believe that they will force Republicans not to have the impeachment vote, but go right to the articles of impeachment, one that would be obstruction. And they believe that it will work to their advantage because it will rally their base. The American public, by and large, may not know what's going on. I believe that a ton, what I have found out just from the response, and it's anecdotal evidence, even the response we've gotten today or yesterday, even at this time from a caller that happened to be at this time, is that they're absolutely clueless as to how the impeachment process works. We had a conversation with one listener on subpoenas today, completely clueless. Thought the president had to respond to any subpoena and fulfill any subpoena that Congress puts out. Well, that's not true, and it's never been true. And so I think that the administration is at that point saying, look, we don't think they want to wait. They don't want to, because the longer they wait, if we see what's happened over the last 3 weeks, remember, it was the promise. It was a quid pro quo. Everything fell apart. You know, the whole thing about, you know, Barr and contacting foreign governments, everything broke down. And now what you have, what you're looking at is the partisanship. This is what came out yesterday. The absolute partisanship of the whistleblower, who now three sources are telling Fox News, one source telling other news outlets out there that the whistleblower has a professional relationship, is either employed or has a professional relationship. Does that mean a paid consultant? It means somehow they are doing business with one of the 2020 Democratic candidates.
Right.
I mean, it keeps getting wider. The fact that we know that Schiff lied. The Washington Post gave him four Pinocchios. He is the lead investigator here. And now here we go again. The investigation and the investigator is corrupt. Then on top of that, yesterday you had the news. I know it's unrelated to this investigation, but it's still the Russia collusion investigation that sources inside, you know, the White House are saying Mueller lied when he told when Mueller testified before Congress and said when he talked to the president in 2017 that he wasn't looking to, you know, become the FBI director. And they all claim, yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And so everything gets tainted. And as we've said, when you looked at the Russia collusion investigation, what we found out is those that were making the allegation ended up being the ones that are being investigated now. And right. And when you look at it, the people that were making the allegations, the party that was making the allegations, are now the ones. The one they accused of doing something has been cleared. In a criminal investigation has been cleared. Now all the criminal investigation is going against them. And as we know now, and we'll get to the story here in just a couple of minutes, Durham is expanding because of what he has learned, his investigation now into the spring of 2017. You have the IG report coming out. My point is, when you look at the entire picture, anybody who is not an absolute partisan, anybody who may be a partisan on the Republican side knows what's going on, and so you know their opinion. But even if you're an independent, you look at this and you say, isn't it interesting that it ends up that those calling for the investigation and those investigating are actually the ones that are dirty?
Right.
And I go back to Peter Strzok, part of the Mueller team. Mm-hmm. When they found that out, and then you look at every process, every time we passed another day, something stinks. And something is partisan and something is a lie coming out of the investigation of the president. So I really think they've said, look, this is just falling apart for them. Let's make this move and force them into the next move. Because what's the next move can only be an impeachment inquiry vote to legitimize it and therefore make it, hopefully for them, they believe, easier to get subpoenas against the president or go straight to voting for articles of impeachment.
Yeah.
On the evidence sure. that you have now. And if you try, because we ask this question, when will the Republicans fight the whistleblower law and state these aren't whistleblowers? Because the whistleblower law, when will they take that to court? Will they take that to court when Schiff decides, okay, we're going to have an interview with the whistleblower mm-hmm. and give them complete anonymity, change their voice, blur their appearance, and do it from a remote location? Mm. Will that be the point where the Republicans will, number one, cry foul, and at that point go out and, because that's what you want, and get a judge to say the whistleblower law doesn't apply here? They could still do that, the Democrats. They could still, you know, have a kangaroo court like that and do that.
Right.
But it would lose legitimacy because a federal judge would have said, sorry, the whistleblower law doesn't apply. And then the whole thing falls apart at that point. Is that what Republicans are waiting for?
I think quite possibly. You're going to, and it's possible the Democrats are waiting for the Republicans to move on challenging officially, you know, the status of the whistleblowers, the so-called whistleblowers, because that gives them this new fight, right? That gives them something else to move on to, but it's still not real. They're going to lose that fight one way or the other. But until the Democrats move officially on a vote, with a vote, and officially start the proceedings, you don't want to move on something with teeth until they move first. The Democrats move first. And so if I'm a Republican, I'm just going to say, no, wait for them to do this. The president is taunting them over and over again. You need to move on impeachment or move on altogether.
And then let's not forget the news that we brought to you yesterday about the ICIG, who himself now is suspect of being a partisan. Why? Because, as we all know, it was in late September when he changed the rules and regulations for the whistleblower law when it comes to first or second hand, and backdated it to August, mm-hmm. but didn't actually submit it till September. And when asked the question why, refused to answer the members of Congress who asked the question.
Right.
So you've just tainted an inspector general. And so across the board, whether it's Adam Schiff, who was leading the investigation that the Washington Post gave four Pinocchios for lying about his contacts, the fact that he is now a fact witness who has lied and is the chief investigator of this, the fact that you have the ICIG now in a compromising position because he won't tell, number one, what he did was completely and totally suspicious, and we now know he changed the rule just for Trump and then backdated it and won't say why he did it. So he is now suspect. Everything the Democrats touch turns to crap.
Yeah. Well, and I, again, you're going on. How many of the Democrats were going on Adam Schiff's word that no one had contacted his office, that he hadn't had any contact?
Right. And I know.
How many Democrats were of that 227? How many of them were going on his word?
Great point.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The USMCA is what brought me here today. The largest trade deal in American history.
Vice President Mike Pence was at a Tyson's food plant in Nashville, Tennessee, Monday, stumping for congressional ratification of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement.
USMCA is projected to add $68 billion to our economy and create 176,000 new jobs. It's also estimated the USMCA would increase annual American agricultural exports by $2.2 billion.
And with the Vice President, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, who earlier in the day told RFD-TV that as far as Congress approving USMCA...
I've been very optimistic about this getting done this fall.
He says there's wide support for it.
And I'm hoping we won't let this recent distractions politically interfere with doing the work of the people regarding these trade agreements. It's extremely important.
Late Monday, President Trump signed two trade agreements with Japan. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, John Durham, the U.S. attorney, has expanded, apparently, according to Fox News, the investigation of the 2016 Trump campaign surveillance. So we'll have that coming up here in a little bit. It will be really interesting to see where this goes the rest of the week. Where do Democrats go now? I mean, again, it's gone back and forth. So does everything go quiet? Because it's been put out there, we're not going to cooperate. So now what is going to happen at this particular point? Will the Democrats start the long process of, okay, we're going to not only subpoena you, but we're going to now fight this in federal court? Do they want to go down and do that long process? Do they see it is advantageous politically for them to do that when every single day of this, it took a while on Russia collusion?
Yeah.
But this, because Russia collusion was a, did the president collude with the Russians to hack and or change the outcome of the election? And by the time the dossier came out, it was salacious and it was bizarre.
Right.
But that went in so many different directions. This, we know precisely what they claim they want to go after, which is the president's speech that he released a transcript, that everything has fallen apart in it. So where do they go from this point if they can't do a fishing expedition that is easy, which they thought they might be able to have, especially if the president didn't release a transcript? Where do they go now? Do they want this long, drawn-out process of trying to do a fishing expedition? Because they're not doing subpoenas for, it's not, for example, we want to subpoena the Nixon White House for the tapes to see if there was any discussion of hiding evidence for the break-in of Democrat headquarters.
Right. Well, and then you ask yourself, what about the second so-called whistleblower? Did they take that from Sunday and tear it apart? I mean, the Democrats easily tear it apart themselves and say, wait a minute, there's no new information here. There might be a second whistleblower with firsthand knowledge, but nothing changes about the transcript and the phone call. Here's your forecast.
As we mentioned yesterday, more snow for the Pacific Northwest, and that's going to continue through the day today and into Thursday for portions of the upper tier states. We'll see by tomorrow that snow move into the Dakotas along I-94 in North Dakota and I-90 in South Dakota. But for today, the bulk of the system centered in central Montana along I-94 and portions of I-15 branching down into I-25 into Wyoming. So if you're headed into that region, you'll want to check ahead on your ultimate destination. For the rest of the nation, rain out ahead of that system along portions of I-80 in Nebraska and into parts of Iowa and northwestern Missouri. The southern plains will be dry, the deep south will be clear, and that system that moved through the mid-Atlantic and northeast will be finally moving offshore for the remainder of the day. The west coast will be dry. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Okay, whatever. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Welcome, and good morning. Before we get to the next story here, when you think about what the Democrats are trying to do right now, it really is amazing, because yesterday, I mean, we talked about, and today the story out there, the Democrats are actually considering putting the whistleblower, to testify from a remote location, and completely keeping their anonymity by changing their voice, blurring their appearance. And it really is amazing that they're going down this path, because now we know that the first whistleblower, you know, with the news coming out now, great suspicion that this person was what? Just a political partisan.
Right.
I mean, yeah. From the information we're coming out, professional relationship with one of the 2020 Democratic candidates. Do they really believe, because you would have to believe that they can get a consensus of Americans by purposely not having transparency, by claiming that the whistleblower, number one, is a whistleblower and their life is in danger from Donald Trump? They're actually, I believe, trying to convince the American public that this is like a mob trial and Trump is the Don.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable when you think about it, if they decide to go down that path. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of days on this. I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I'm fascinated, but I'm going to go to sleep. And when I wake up, maybe 10:30, it'll be interesting to see how far this thing has progressed. And it happens to me every morning, because I think, wow, a lot of things happen in the morning. We're central time, so if I wake up at between 10 and 11, it's 11 and 12, so half the day is really gone in D.C. And I'm always, where are they going to go next? Where are they going to go next? Where are they going to go next? And I'm never surprised, even when I'm surprised, going, oh, wow. Okay, they actually went there? That's not going to work. I'm surprised, but not surprised, if that makes any sense.
Well, it's that nothing really should surprise us based on what they have done so far. Because here's my question. If Trump loses next November, and then whoever... Elizabeth Warren is sworn in January of 2021. I think Democrats will try and retroactively impeach Trump. If they don't get it done now, they'll, because this obsession is just beyond ludicrous. It really is. And it really is an obsession. They really can't help themselves with their hatred for this guy, because what they can't get over is the loss in 2016.
Well, when you see the polling that most Democrats want to impeach President Trump, even if that means weakening their party's chances of winning back the White House in the 2020 election, according to a new Reuters poll, the poll conducted Monday and Tuesday found 55% of Democrats said that their party leaders should press ahead with the impeachment, even if it means a lengthy and expensive process that could weaken their chances of winning the presidency in 2020. Even a higher number, 66% of Democrats agreed that Congress should pursue impeachment, even if it means they will need to postpone efforts to pass laws that could benefit me. And again, if you ask any Democrat why, they can't answer the question. They can't answer the question of why impeach. Right. He's an illegitimate president because of what happened in the 2016 election. What happened?
Exactly what happened.
Yeah. They can't tell you.
Well, they can't. And again, they can't get over the loss. That's the problem. Yeah. They can't get over the loss. They still can't believe it. Hillary, nearly 3 years later, is still basically saying it was rigged.
Right.
You know, and that's where they are. And that's what drives everything for the Democrats, I think, right now. It's the hatred for him and the disbelief and the, I don't know, just this whatever mental state that it drove them to after the loss.
Look, an example of it is how that story blew up yesterday with Ellen and Bush being, you know, W being at the Cowboys game and just sitting together, and the rage that has elicited strictly from the left.
Right.
It's strictly all of it, all of the hatred towards Ellen is based against, you know, her being with Bush. It wasn't the right wing upset that Bush was with Ellen. It was the opposite. It is not permissible. And I guess the great question is, and you and I asked this question, that you have the insane Democrats out there. And when we say the crazy Democrats, I want to use that quote, the crazy Democrats, because Claire McCaskill used that in the Senate race in 2016 or in 2018.
Right.
And basically saying, I'm not one of those crazy Democrats. And you made the point right on. You said, you know, she used that term for a reason.
Yes.
She used that term because that's what they're hearing that coming back from them from focus groups or telling them, look, I'm a Democrat, but the Democrat Party has gone just, you know, crazy on me.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have asked the question that we know that there are some Democrats that left and went and voted for Trump. My point, because I found this on social media, the liberals that I know on social media were all coming out and saying, well, I don't agree. She should be able to hang around with Bush. And Bush was okay. And I'm like, you mean the guy that you were calling Hitler just a few years back is okay. But that was the thing. I don't think like those on the left that did it. And you had Republicans and conservatives keep pointing out, remember, this strictly comes from your side. It may be, you may think it's the radical your side, but this is your side. This is the side that controls your party right now. This is the party that will not permit free speech. This is the party that wants to limit free speech. This is the party that wants to punish you for your speech. This is your party. And so you get to the point of you have the far left, which controls the Democrat Party, which is fine demonizing Ellen because, hey, she just becomes the new oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they, you know, that's what they do. But how, and this is a question you and I have asked, what about the Democrat voter out there? What about the recognition that Claire McCaskill had that there's the crazy Democrats? She was acknowledging to independents and others, and even some Democrats, I'm not one of the crazy people now that want to control your speech, that's telling you that a boy can be a girl whenever a boy wishes to be a girl. I'm not the one telling you that, as the Charlotte Observer wrote in the transgender bathroom controversy in North Carolina, that young girls need to get used to male genitalia.
Right, right.
I'm not one of those crazy Democrats. And so you wonder as they, and so I saw that Ellen thing and saw the response on social media and then saw my friends on, liberal friends on social media that have been extremely quiet throughout all of this.
Mm-hmm.
The quiet ones who have stated, well, I don't believe in that. Well, I don't believe in that. What will eventually drive them away from the Democrat Party? And how many will leave in 2020 if this continues the way that it does? And I don't know. I don't have the answer for you.
Well, I mean, their biggest problem, if you think about it politically right now, I think their biggest concern should be that there's no real excitement for any of the candidates to take Trump out of the picture. But the problem for Trump is that he is in the picture, and the anti-Trump vote certainly could be very motivating for a number of people. But I think you can't have that solely as the driver. It will get some to the poll. Will it get enough to the poll? And will it work with people in the middle? That's the problem. The Democrats will be there, I think, in full force. Well, I assume they will be, and I think the Trump campaign should too. But I don't know that the people in the middle will be there, because the excitement is what gets you over the top. The euphoria that was the kind of euphoria you see. Well, frankly, you saw it in 92 to some extent for Bill Clinton. You saw it in 2008 for Barack Obama. Where's that excitement for anyone on the left?
Well, then I think what you're stating is, I believe, you might not have said it, but what you're stating is it's time for Hillary to get back
in. It's time for her to announce. She's never had that charisma. That's got to be a burn.
Well, now she said, I saw her interviewed yesterday. She goes, well, you know, you never know. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so now she's at a maybe.
Right.
Now, the only thing, again, you can't really trust what she said yesterday, because in that one tweet when the president said, you know, go ahead, you know, run.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing here, but go ahead, run. She, you know, basically tweeted, you know, just do your job.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. If you're telling the president to do his job, you've just acknowledged he is a legit president and should be doing his presidential job.
Well, that's it. You acknowledge that he is a legitimate president. Well, just like Bill. And is she hoping that that is what creates the excitement? There's not a lot of excitement at all for any of the candidates. The polls show support for them. But would it re-energize the party, the base, if she announced? I don't see that. Think about it. Is she the one? Now, she probably believes she is.
Can I have a moment here, just for a moment off the air, just for a second? Let me move away from the microphone.
Yeah.
Please, God, make that happen.
Oh,
please,
man, I would love it.
Please make that happen. Please. Just for the sake of being a talk show host.
Well, I mean, it would be great, right?
If she decided to run it.
What are they going to use now? Because last time it was, it's her time. And now it's going to be, no, really, guys. No, really. Seriously. Seriously, it's her time. Oh, come on. Come on. Quit joking around, guys. Come on. You had your fun. It's her time. Please, please.
She's the wokest of the woke amongst us.
Well, but seriously, think about that. She's old school. She's living in her own little Clinton bubble. But it really isn't it's not reality at all in terms of the political landscape.
Has anybody polled her among Democrats? Forget about the poll that was out there. She's up against Trump.
Right.
Has anybody done a poll? Somebody probably will do a poll now that was really the talk of yesterday. It really was. Will Hillary get back in? And by the way, there was more conversation on social media between conservatives and Republicans. I didn't find anybody on the left talking about Hillary. Maybe they did, and I didn't see it.
Right, right.
But yeah. I was scanning yesterday looking for that, saying, I wonder what the left thinks about that. I wonder what Democrats think about it. And it was almost as if they were thinking to themselves, if we all just shut up and say nothing, maybe she won't run.
Right. Shh. Stay quiet.
Stay off social media today. Don't mention Hillary. They'll all be looking. You know how she looks at the social media. Oh, there's another mention. They love me. They love me.
Yes, right. Well, no, I mean, it is that false adoration. We'll see where it goes. But if she announces, I suspect it will be in the next several days. I don't know why. October 15th keeps hitting me, but we'll see. You know, Bill announced in October of 91, so we'll see if she believes that's a good political tactic of her own.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Freightliner Team Run Smart Pro Henry Albert has achieved some very impressive fuel mileage numbers. Henry shares the specs on his truck and his trailer, starting with what's under the hood.
I'm in a 2018 Cascadia Aero X. It's powered by the integrated drivetrain Detroit Series 60 DD15, 400 horsepower, 1,750 foot-pounds of torque at 975 RPM, and that's fed into the Detroit DT12 direct drive transmission with a final axle ratio of 2.16 with active lube management, riding on Michelin X1 tires, pulling a fully aerodynamic trailer. The trailer is equipped with a nose cone. It's also equipped with full-length skirts from Fleet Engineers that go completely over the landing gear, completely over the trailer tandem, all the way to the rear bumper. The rain gutter has been plated over, and it's running a Stemco trailer tail. My main run, which is from Charlotte to Laredo, and I'm usually 60 to 65,000 pounds, I was averaging over 10 miles of the gallon. It was up to 10.1.
To learn more about Henry's fuel mileage achievements, go to TeamRunSmart.com. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Best tweet I saw yesterday was Hillary Clinton talking about the fact of saying, you know, I could beat Donald Trump again.
Right.
This is a tweet I saw yesterday that said, Hillary said, quote, I could beat Trump again, end of quote, in an interview that did not take place in the Oval Office.
I love it. I just love it. Yeah, we'll see if she announces. Everybody is waiting anxiously. Like Gary said, please make it happen. Go ahead.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.